بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the hadith, the collection of hadiths in Imam al-Nawawi collection, which is called the Nawawi Hadith collection, and this is number 11, hadith number 11. عن أبي محمد الحسن بن علي بن أبي طالب سبط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وريحانته رضي الله عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. رواه الترمذي والنسائي, وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح. Okay, جيد. On the authority of Abu Muhammad al-Hasan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and one of the much beloved of him, Rayhanatihi, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, I am memorized from the Messenger of Allah, may Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam be upon him, I am memorized from him, his saying, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. Leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. It was related by At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i, and At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah and the others, saying that it was a good and sound hadith. Good and sound hadith. Al-Hasan bin Ali bin Abi Talib is the grandson Sibt, and the Sibt is the grandson from the daughter's side. The Sibt is the grandson or the grandchild, but this is the son here. The Sibt is the grandson from the daughter's side, and the grandson from the son's side is called Hafid. So this way you make a distinction between the two. If the Sibt is mentioned, then he is the boy from the grandside, from the grandchild from the daughter's side. And if he is from the son's side, then he is called Hafid. So the Hafid is the son of the son, the child of the son. The Prophet ﷺ described him that he is a leader. In the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he described Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا, my son, this son of mine, Sayyid, is a leader. وَسَيُصْلِحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reconcile by him or through him between two of Muslims groups, those who يعني, they were upon or amongst whom the fitna occurred after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it really occurred as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed about him. And this is when, after Ali bin Abi Talib was martyred, killed by the dissidents, the Khawarij, and the Khilafah was assigned to Al-Hasan, the allegiance was given to Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, he declined. He, may Allah be pleased with him, declined it for Muawiyah. For Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reconciled between, through this declining, between the followers of Muawiyah and the followers of Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And Allah brought a lot of good in that. And he is better than his brother Al-Husayn رضي الله تعالى عنهما. However, it is strange that the Shia, the Rafida, cling to Al-Husayn. It is strange that they cling to Al-Husayn, yet Al-Hasan is better than Al-Husayn. Why? Because there is this story about his killing, may Allah be pleased with him, which is an emotional, sad story. So they took by that as a means of clinging to Al-Husayn. And had they really been truthful about their so-called respect to the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then they should have clinged more to Al-Hasan, more than Al-Husayn, because he is better than him. But this is the following of desires. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described him as Rayhanatihi. Rayhana, literally his fragrant flower, having beautiful fragrance. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام described Al-Hasan as well as Al-Husayn بأنهما, that they are Rayhanata, his fragrant flowers. So, here the hadith says, leave, da', meaning utruk, abandon, leave, relinquish, ma yuribuk, that which makes you doubt, from worries and doubt and so forth. Leave it for what? Leave it for what? Ila ma la yuribuk, for that which does not make you doubt, and that which does not make you worry. This hadith is from Jawami'u al-Kalim, the concise speech of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it has a great benefit to the believer if he really follows that, because there are many doubts which could come and raised and be raised relating so many things, in relation to so many things. So we say da' al-shak, leave doubt for that where there is no doubt, so that you feel at ease and be safe. So anything doubt, any kind of doubt or worry that may come, then abandon that, leave it, so that you don't be affected by it. But if it comes to reach the degree of waswas, meaning whispering, then don't even give it any attention. And these matters cover worships and also covers dealings and transactions. And it also could occur in even marriages and also in matters of knowledge as well. An example of its occurrence in worship. Take the case of someone who nullifies his wudu, then makes salah. Afterwards, he doubts, did he perform wudu after his wudu was nullified, or he didn't? So now he is in doubt. If he makes wudu, then the salah is sahiha, is correct. And if he doesn't make wudu, then the salah is incorrect, and he remains in doubt. So we say to him, leave that which makes you doubt. What is the doubt here? The doubt is the correctness of the salah. Leave it for that which does not make you doubt. And that means you make wudu and perform the salah. You make wudu and perform the salah. This will take out the doubt. This is one example. Another example, but opposite to this one, is the case of someone who makes wudu, then prays, then afterwards he doubts. Did he nullify his wudu afterwards or not? This came after he made the salah. So here we tell him, leave that which makes you doubt to that which does not make you doubt. Here you have something certain that you made wudu. Then afterwards you doubted. Was this wudu affected by any kind of ritual impurity afterwards or not? So now what is to be abandoned? The thing that you need to abandon and leave is the doubt. What is the doubt? The doubt, did there occur any hadath, any ritual impurity or not? So we say leave that, leave this doubt and comfort yourself. This is the case, the opposite case. An example in marriages. If someone doubts concerning the witnesses of marriage, the two witnesses, are they trustworthy, reliable or not? So we say, if the covenant of marriage had already been concluded, then it was concluded on correctness. Leave the doubt. Because the origin with respect to the covenants is that they are correct until there is established an evidence to indicate otherwise. So we tell him, leave the doubt. Consider them correct. Why? Because the origin with respect to the covenants is that they are correct until there is a dalil, there is evidence to indicate that they are corrupt or nullified. This is an example on marriage. And in the case of, for example, breastfeeding, al-rada', the woman breastfeeding a child, she doubts. Did she give him 4 or 5 meals breastfeeding fully from her? Did she doubted whether she gave him 4 or 5. So here there is doubt. She doubted whether she gave him 4 full breastfeeds or 5. We say there is no doubt that they are 4. There is no doubt that they are 4. And the fifth one, there is doubt about it. So we say, leave the fifth one and base it on 4. And when you base it on 4, then you are not considered to have legally breastfed this child. And therefore, this child is not considered your son or daughter through breastfeeding, through rada', because you gave him 4, not 5. These are certain. So cast the doubt, which is the fifth feeding. Don't consider it, because there is where you got the doubt. As you can tell, these are very, very important matters. And that's why I invited some people to come of our regular guests. So this matter is also vast and comprehensive. But it is a straight matter. If the person follows that in the course of his life, then he will be on a great good. What is that? This is a great principle, this prophetic principle, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. And we have spoken earlier earlier, that this is the case as long as there is no whispering. If there is whispering, then it should be totally overlooked. No attention whatsoever should be given to whispering. And that's why the ulama, the scholars of Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon all of them, they said that الشَّكُّ إِذَا كَثُرَ فَلَا عِبْرَةَ بِهِ. If doubt becomes intensified and multiplies, it becomes too much, then لَا عِبْرَةَ فِيهِ. It should not be considered. It should not be considered. Why? Because لِأَنَّهُ يَكُونُ وَسْوَاسَ. Then it turns to whispers, whispering. And what is the sign that it could be yani intense? Take an example. Here, some person goes to make wudu. Yani he, before he is finished from his wudu, then he starts doubting. Similarly, he goes to pray. He's still in the prayer, about to start, not even finished, and then he begins to doubt. This is whispering, and therefore she should overlook that. In this way, when he is overlooking it, he is applying the hadith, leave that which makes you doubt, and this is the whisper now, for that which does not make you doubt. He is applying the hadith. He is utilizing it correctly. Another example. Some person's garment got some kind of dirt on it, filth. And he washed that. And then he doubted, was it removed, the filth, or not? Now, its removal is doubted. We say, wash it. Wash it now. Because the origin is, it's not removal. The origin is, it's not removed. On removal. So we leave this doubt and go to the origin and wash it. This way, you'll become certain. And it will be more likely and more probably that it has been removed through this way, washing it. Now, At-Tirmidhi said that this hadith is hadithun hasanun sahih. And you often hear us say this when we go over the hadiths and their grading. We relate to you the sayings of the scholars, some of them, and At-Tirmidhi in particular, mentioned this, that this is hadithun hasanun sahih. There's no doubt that the hadith is sahih. There's no doubt that the hadith is sahih. But now, there's a problem. Being hasan and sahih at the same time is problematic. Because what is known about the hadith is that the hadith which is sahih is of a different caliber than the hadith which is hasan, the hadith which is authentic, sahih, from the hadith which is good, hasan. Because the scholars have divided the hadith into sahih on its own and sahih due to supporting evidence. The second one is sahih due to other supporting evidence or narrations. And they defined also the hasan, the good, on its merit. Hasan on its merit, standing alone as hasan, as good. And then the other one is hasan, good due to other supporting evidences. Meaning on its own cannot stand as good. And hasan due to supporting evidence. And then the da'if, the weak. This is the classification. This is the known and famous classification of the scholars of about the hadith in terms of being yani authentic and deep and weak, and the different levels of authenticity. Sahih on its own merit, sahih for due to other supporting evidence, and hasanun li dhatihi, meaning hasan on its own merits, wa hasanun li ghayrihi, hasan due to other supporting narrations, and da'if, weak. So how can we reconcile the description here in one hadith to be hasan and sahih, hasanun sahih, as in this hadith which is at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah graded as such? And often you see at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah declaring many of the ahadiths which have been proven to him to carry this caliber as hasan sahih. The scholars rahimahumullah answered this: if the hadith comes from one narration, then in this case the scholar of hadith reporting it is in doubt. Did this hadith reach the level of sahih, or is it still at the level of hasan? So, and if it came from two ways of narrations, it means that one of the narrations is sahih and the other is hasan. So if it comes from two narrations, this there, and it is labeled as hasanun sahih, this indicates that one of the narrations is sahih and the other is hasan. Now there is a point of benefit. Which is stronger? To consider to grade the hadith as sahih or sahihun hasan? Point of benefit. Which is stronger? To describe the hadith as sahih or sahihun hasan? Good, authentic, or authentic? The answer: if it comes from two ways of narrations, then this will be stronger than being sahih alone. And if it comes from one chain, then describing it as hasanun sahih, good, authentic, is weaker than describing it sahih. Why? Because the al-hafiz, the master of hadith who narrated it, was hesitant. To him it was hesitant. Did it reach the level of sahha, of authenticity, the sahih level, or is it still in the level of hasan, which means good? And due to that, therefore, due to this hesitation, it will rank in a lower level than the purely sahih. Is this clear to you now? This is a very important benefit. You often hear that at-Tirmidhi graded the hadith as hasanun sahih. Is that clear to you, inshallah? If it comes from one narration, then sahihun hasan is weaker, yes. Is weaker than pure sahih. Correct. Because al-hafiz, the master of the hadith, was hesitant. Oh, that's the highest level. Agreed upon, that's the highest level of degree of authenticity. Okay. Now, the benefits of this hadith. Now, before we move, is this clear now? Is this clear, please? Let me know. Okay, go ahead. From the benefits of this hadith, number one, Islam does not want from its adherents to be in doubt or worry, because the Prophet ﷺ said, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. Secondly, if you want to be at ease and comfort, then leave the doubtful matters. especially after the time you worship, of your worship is over, after you have conducted the worship, so that you will not be followed by worries and constant worries. For example, some person makes tawaf around the Kaaba and finished, and then he went to Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim, and then he doubted. After he finished, he doubted, did he perform 7 circulations or 6? What should he do? What should she do? The answer, do nothing. Because the doubt came after the completion of the worship. Unless he is certain or she is certain that he or she did 6. And in this case, they complete, bring forth the 7th if the separation time was short. Another example. Someone finished the salah and made salam, taslim. Then he doubted. Did he pray them 3 or 4? What should he do? The answer is, he should overlook that. Shouldn't give it any attention, because in origin the salah is sahih, is correct, as long as he is not certain, or as long as he is certain rather that he prayed the 3, then in this case he brings the fourth as long as the time of separation is short, and then makes sujood for forgetfulness, and then afterwards make salam. The third benefit that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concise speech. Because these are two statements, look at them in Arabic when you read them. Da' ma yuribuk, this is a statement. Ila ma la yuribuk, leave that which makes you doubt, for that which does not make you doubt. Short, concise, clear. If someone builds upon this, the meanings that can be deducted from this, he may reach volumes. It may reach volumes. May Allah salah and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This brings the end of this hadith, which is hadith number 11. From the explanation by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. And then inshallah after a short break we'll go for, or let's go now right away, we go to hadith 12. It's short as well. From the hadith of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith number 12, please. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. On the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, part of someone's being a good Muslim is his leaving alone that which does not concern him. And this hadith is graded as hasan, as good, and reported by Tirmidhi and others. Hadith hasan. Okay. This hadith is like the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is reported by Imam al-Bukhari when he said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter and the last day, let him say that which is good, or keep silent. It really resembles this hadith from different angles. From the benefits of this hadith, that Islam comprises all good, and the Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, may Allah's mercy upon him, said, وَقَدْ أَلَّفَ شَيْخُنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنْ سَعْدِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ رِسَالَ فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضُوعِ. He said that our Shaykh عبد الرحمن بن سعدي, which I told you about, he authored a book about this. He called it Mahasinuddin al-Islami, the good qualities of Islam. And by the way, this is translated into English and available. This book by Sheikh Al-Sadi is translated into English. It's a very excellent treatise, Mahasin al-Din al-Islami. And also Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Muhammad Salman also authored as well a similar book. And the beauty and goodness of Islam are all mentioned in two words. They are in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 90. قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان. Two words. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان. In Surah An-Nahl, verse 90. Verily Allah enjoins al-adl, which is justice, and tawheed, and ihsan, being patient in performing your duties to Allah for Allah's sake in accordance with his with the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and giving help to kith and kin, to the rest of the verse. But these are the two things, al-adl wal-ihsan, justice and goodness. Leaving the second benefit, leaving that which does not concern the person in his worldly affairs and his needs, is from his good Islam, reflects his good Islam, good state of Islam. Thirdly, anyone who concerns himself in that which is not of his concern, then this is not from the ihsan which Allah enjoined. And this happens a lot. There are so many people who speak about certain matters that are not of their concern. Sometimes people come and ask him about certain things which are not of his concern, but he puts his nose therein, and this reflects the weakness of a state of Islam with him. And also from the point of benefit is, the person should seek goodness of his Islam within himself, otherwise he will exhaust himself if he indulges in that which is of no concern and no benefit to him. Now comes the question, does this mean that we leave commanding and enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, if we think that this is not of our concerns? The answer is no. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahyu an al-munkar, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, this is of the concern, this is of concern to the believer, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined upon us in Surah Al-Imran in 3:104, when he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining ma'ruf, inviting people to tawheed and to comply with Allah's commands, and forbidding the munkar, shirk and disbelief, and what Islam has forbidden. And it is they who are the successful. You see, it didn't say that they are, this is not of concern to them. Rather, Allah enjoined it and said about its carriers that they are the successful. So if you command someone and advise someone concerning something which is unlawful, and you said, Ya Akhi, O my brother, O my sister, هذا منكر, this is munkar, Allah had forbade, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, so it is not his right to tell you this is not of your concern. It is wrong for him to say that, or for her. ولو قاله لم يقبل منه. And if he utters that and he says this, then it is not to be accepted from him or her. Because enjoining what is right and forbidding what's wrong concerns the entire Muslim Ummah. And yet, as the scholars rahimahullah mentioned, and from them our Shaykh rahimahullah, because he is the one who explaining this hadith, that this must be based upon knowledge. Knowledge that this is munkar, this is forbidden, or disliked, or haram, and this is ma'roof, and this is good. And not only that, but the way also to enjoin it has its conditions. And also from that which concerns our families and children, daughters and sons, it is the duty of the household leader to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, and to invite them to all that which is good, and to warn them against that which is evil, and forbid them from indulging in that. قال الله عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said clearly in Surah Al-Tahrim, verse 6, 66 verse 6, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَ. Oh, you believe, ward off from yourselves and your families a fire hell whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who disobey not from executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded. And all success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings the end of hadith number 12 from Imam al-Nawawi's collection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of this a beneficial knowledge for myself and for all of you. And may Allah's mercy be upon our Shaykh rahimahullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.